Why don't students like school? A cognitive scientist answers questions about how the mind works and what it means for the classroom. Author, Daniel T. Willingham. Why don't students like school is a list of 9 principles that are so fundamental to the mind's operation that they do not change as the circumstances change. These 9 principles are presented in the form of 9 questions and answers. From each answer springs a cognitive principle, thus it's further explored with a focus on what it implies for the classroom. Number 1. Why is it difficult to make school enjoyable for students? Thinking is slow and unreliable. Nevertheless, people enjoy mental work if it's successful. People like to solve problems, but not to work on unsolved problems. If schoolwork is always just a bit too difficult for a student, it should be no surprise that she doesn't like school much. Cognitive principle number 1. People are naturally curious, but they are not naturally good thinkers. Unless the cognitive conditions are right, people will avoid thinking. Implication for the classroom. What can teachers do to ensure that a student gets pleasurable rush in solving a problem? 1. Be sure that there are problems to be solved. Cognitive work that poses moderate challenge. 2. Respect students' cognitive limits. 3. Clarify the problems to be solved. And 4. Accept and act on variation in student preparation. Number 2. How can I teach students the skills they need when standardized tests require only facts? There is no doubt that having students memorize lists of dry facts is not enriching. Researching from cognitive science has shown that the sorts of skills that teachers want for students, such as the ability to analyze and think critically, require extensive factual knowledge. Cognitive principle number 2. Factual knowledge must precede skill. Implications for the classroom. If factual knowledge makes cognitive processes work better, the obvious implication is that we must help children learn background knowledge. And how can we ensure that that happens? 1. Evaluate knowledge to instill. 2. Be sure that the knowledge base is mostly in place when you require critical thinking. 3. Shallow knowledge is better than no knowledge. 4. Do whatever you can to get kids to read. And 5. Knowledge must be meaningful. 3. Why do students remember everything that is on television, but forget everything I say? Your brain lays its bets this way. If you don't think about something very much, then you probably won't want to think about it again, so it need not be stored. If you do think about something, then it's likely you'll want to think about it in the same way in the future. Cognitive principle number 3. Memory is the residue of thought. Implications for the classroom. Thinking about meaning helps memory. How can teachers ensure that students think about meaning in the classroom? Here are some practical suggestions. 1. Review each lesson plan in terms of what the student is likely to think about. 2. Think hard about how you will draw a connection between an attention grabber and the point that it's designed to make. 3. Design assessments so that students will unavoidably think about meaning. And 4. Try organising a lesson plan around the conflict. 4. Why is it so hard for students to understand abstract ideas? Abstraction is the goal of schooling. The teacher wants students to be able to apply classroom learning in new contexts, including those outside of school. The challenge is that one's mind does not care for abstractions, and the mind prefers to concentrate. Cognitive principle number 4. We understand new things in the context of things we already know, and most of what we know is concrete. Implications for the classroom. To help student comprehension, provide examples and ask students to compare them. Make deep knowledge the spoken and unspoken emphasis. And make your expectations for deep knowledge realistic. 5. Is drilling worth it? The bottleneck in our cognitive system is the extent to which we can judge several ideas in our mind simultaneously. The mind has a few tricks for working around this problem. One of the most effective is practice, because it reduces the amount of room that the mental work requires. Cognitive principle number 5. It is virtually impossible to become proficient at a mental task without extending practice. Implications for classroom. Continuing to practice mental skills even when there are not obvious improvements in our abilities yields 3 benefits. 1. Can help the mental process become more automatic and thereby enable further learning. 2. It makes the memory long-lasting. 3. it increases the likelihood that learning will transfer to the new situation. 6. What's the secret to getting students to think like real scientists, mathematicians, and historians? This protest against school curricula has a surface plausibility. How can we expect to train the next generation of scientists if we are not training them to do what scientists actually do? But a flawed assumption underlies the logic, namely that students are cognitively capable of doing what scientists or historians do. Cognitive principle number 6. Cognition early in training is fundamentally different from cognition late in training. Implications for the classroom. Remember that, number 1, students are ready to comprehend but not to create knowledge. And number 2, don't expect novices to learn by doing what experts do. 7. How should I adjust my teaching for different types of learners? It is important to keep in mind what the hypothesis behind learning styles actually is. The prediction of any learning styles theory is that a teaching method 1 might be good for Sam but bad for Donna, whereas teaching method number 2 might be good for Donna but bad for Sam. Further, this difference between Sam and Donna persists, that is, that Sam consistently prefers one type of teaching and Donna prefers another. Cognitive principle number 7. Children are more alike than different in terms of how they think and learn. Implications for the classroom. It is advisable that teachers treat students differently on the basis of the teacher's experience with each student and remain alert for what works. When differentiating among students, craft knowledge trumps science. 1. Think in terms of content, not in terms of students. 2. Change promotes attention. And 3. There is value in every child, even if he or she is not smart in some way. 8. How can I help slow learners? Our genetic inheritance does impact our intelligence, but it seems to do so mostly through the environment. There is no doubt that the intelligence can be changed. Cognitive principle number 8. Children do differ in intelligence, but intelligence can be changed through sustained work. Implications for the classroom. Slow students have the same potential as bright students, but they probably differ in what they know, in their motivation, in their persistence, and in the face of academic setbacks, and in their self-image as students. How can we help? 1. Praise effort, not ability. 2. Tell them that the hard work pays off. 3. Treat failure as a natural part of learning. 4. Don't take study skills for granted. 5. Catching up is a long-term goal. 6. Show students that you have confidence in them. 9. What about my mind? Your mind is not different from those of your students. Cognitive principle number 9. Teaching, like any complex cognitive skill, must be practiced to be improved. Winding up. Education is the passing on of accumulated wisdom to generations of the children, and we passionately believe that its importance because we know that it holds the promise of a better life for each child, and for us all, collectively. It would be a shame indeed if we did not use the accumulated wisdom of science to inform the methods by which we educate our children. That has been the purpose of Why Don't Students Like School? Education makes better minds and knowledge of the mind than can make a better education.